Brother Yancey's interpreting for the brother that's going to be here Wednesday night. So the brother from Nicaragua or wherever it is. So. All right, so now, Romans 10. All right, come on, God's time, not yours. Let's go. Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We're going to... Let's take that off. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. We were talking about this last week, or last Sunday. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, right? The law. The Pharisees thought as long as they did the Ten Commandments and read the Torah and did what God said in the Bible, or the Old Testament part of the Bible, that they were fine. And they were until the God of the letter of the law stepped out in front of them. When the God of the letter of the law stepped out in front of them, then their righteousness couldn't be established anymore because it wasn't their righteousness anyway. Right? Going about to establish their own righteousness. Now, this is Paul talking. Now, remember, he's going to Rome, but he's talking to the Jews, but he's going to Rome to visit the people that are in Rome, the believers. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In other words, they turn Christ down. They turn the embodiment of the word, they turned him down. All right? For Christ is the end. But see, now I want you to say, I want you to look at something. Now, when I read being in the fifth seal, which we're going to be talking about this afternoon, not so much about that part, but trying to get something out of the way first. But God came to them first. God came to the Jews first. They were his people. He gave them the promise, the oracles, the this, the that. He gave them everything they needed. And what did they do? They turned it down. Right? They turned it down and they became not his wife anymore. They tried to live by their own righteousness. And God blinded their eyes so that the Gentiles could come in. Okay? He literally blinded them because look, come on, read the Old Testament. The way we read the Old Testament, we see Jesus Christ all through there. Yeah. Right? They prophesied. Moses said, I'll send a prophet like unto me, a virgin shall conceive. All those things were written in the Old Testament. It was not hid. They rehearsed them every Sabbath day. They would read a part of the Torah. They would read a part of this. They would read a part of that. Right? But when the man came that Moses and all the prophets talked about, they said, nah, we turned him down. They turned him down. They said, let his blood be on us and our children. And God said, okay, I knew you were going to do that. But I knew I wanted a Gentile bride because like we were talking last night, there's a lot of things that God put up with the Jews because of this. But what we were talking about last night in the Bible study, we were talking about prayer lines and stuff and laying on of hands and all that. Brother Brown says 30 or 40 times, that's a Jewish tradition. That was given to the Jews because the Jews needed some kind of contact.
Right.
He said that's not even for the Gentile church. Now, he was pretty plain. He said that wasn't even given for the Gentile church to use. I mean, how many times, look, even the angel, when Brother Branham had the vision of the third pull, what did the angel tell him? You're explaining this thing away. And like Brother Branham said, he said, my success is not in laying on of hands. Even in the prayer lines, he does call. Hardly does he lay hands. He does. He said, I'll lay hands on if you want me to. But what was his true message? Was the discernment when he turned away from that prayer line and started calling people 30 and 40 feet away. And he says, see, I never touched you. Well, see, that's... And I'll cover it a little bit this afternoon. I don't want people to get... like Daddy said last night, I hope everybody understood it. The people were kind of talking, but he said, like Brother Dale, like the God said, or Jesus said, we stranded a gnat and swallow a camel. You know, we pick one thing and we don't hear no more of the sermon. If it goes against what we think, every bit of it, You can forget the rest of it. This is what I heard you say.
Right.
You know, so. Yeah. But I believe in prayer lines and stuff if you need it. But now when we get into the seals, when we get into the third pull is not laying on of hands. The third pull is not prayer line. The third pull is speaking the word. That's what we got to come up to because it's a tradition. Even Paul, we read it where he said we must go on to perfection, not laying again what baptism. He even says laying on of hands. All those things like that. We got to come up higher from that. I was telling Jim last night, that's our tradition. That's why everybody, when you say that, they go, why? Because that's the way they've been taught since they were a little child. Yeah. To have a prayer line and everybody shout and fall out and speak in tongues. And that's not even in the Bible. They laid hands on people for the Holy Ghost. But even I looked at a quote last night where Brother Brown said, that is in the Bible and we will lay hands on and receive the Holy Ghost. He said, but, he said, when Paul was at the house of Cornelius, while he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on the people. So it's not all laying on of hands. It's believing the Word of God. And that's what we got to get to. Like we're saying last night, I like the way this church is built because it's built on you individuals doing your own praying. Now, other churches, you watch. Well, you look. Pastors leave or die. And look what churches do. They just go, pfft. Why? Because they built it all on one man. They built it all on having to get into brother so-and-so. Well, if he would have taught his people. I've always said the reason Jimmy Carter wasn't successful, he was a great man. Great man. He didn't surround himself with good people. He surrounded himself with a bunch of liars and cheats. Ronald Reagan comes in and surrounds himself with good people and he lets them handle it. That's the greatest man, is to let somebody else do it.
Right.
Yeah, let build your same way here. Build your church to let everybody believe. I'm just that way. I mean, you just got to believe it. And like I said too before, it's just because it's been raining for 3 days, that doesn't mean God's mad at you.
Right.
That has nothing to do with it. That's nature.
Right.
If your motor blows up in your car, you say, well, God must be mad at me. Can I speak this thing? Well, maybe if you need to speak it, yeah, you can. But that's a car. It's a mechanical piece of equipment. Forget it. That's the devil playing in your head.
Right.
Right? I mean, come on. And like laying on of hands. See, we take laying on of hands. That's temporary.
Yeah.
That's temporary. Listen, all them people Brother Brown prayed for in all those years, probably 99.99% of them are laying in the grave somewhere. So the healing was temporary. Did them good. Hallelujah. Praise God. They lived longer. They had a better life. But that had nothing to do with their body change. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about coming up to a level to where the body change is not going to be going through a prayer line.
Yeah.
Or laying on of hands, right?
Exactly.
It's going to be believing for yourself. Brother Dale will not speak your body into a glorified condition. But he can preach it enough to where you can see it, and then God will change your body by what you say.
Yeah, right.
To me, that's just so simple. Everybody else is just dependent on, well, it's just how you've been raised. It's just how you've been raised.
That's what, when we first come in, you know, the little tent, whatever, Brother Brian preached, all the people, when we first come in, that's what
sure.
they believe. You're going to get under that thing,
yep.
and then he's going to give you the Holy Ghost.
Right. And you know what it done? It just made a bunch of junk. You can't get the Holy Ghost by that. I'm sorry.
Right.
By believing that, you can't get the Holy Ghost. So, here we go. Preach the Holy Ghost until they get the Holy Ghost. And then when they get the Holy Ghost, then let God work it. You know? But let's don't, you know, you say, well, I lost my job for the glory of the Lord. No, you lost your job because you probably weren't doing the right thing. Or they were changing and it was out of your control.
Right.
So, I wouldn't... Brother Branham said, the third pull is now laying dormant. I got that quote at the house. Remember, I preached on the third pull about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Or the three pulls of your journey. I preached that a long time ago. And but one of them is speaking the word. But if it's laying dormant now, Brother Branham said the third pull is laying dormant. So what's going to cause it? It's not going to cause it because you can go out and make $1,000 a week and live in a nice house and have a nice car.
Exactly.
No. It's going to happen when all that goes. And then you see what you got to do. Then you speak the word for something to eat. Then you speak the word for something to drink. Then you speak the word for something to go somewhere. Right now, that's not going to happen. I mean, it will in a small, minute point. But we're trying to get everybody to a place to where our mentality is we're not going to die. We're going to have a body change that's going to come from what's inside of us by the word that we hear. I mean, look at Paul. I was telling last night, look at Paul. Paul did not sit. It's a pretty picture of a beehive. Paul did not sit around and say, oh, I got 39 stripes again. God must not be with me. No. He said, I glory. He said, I glory in my infirmity. Why? Because he saw the people that he caused blaspheme be put to death because of him. And he said, whatever I get, that's what I get. But let's don't base our revelation on circumstances.
Exactly.
A revelation can't be based on circumstances. Because God's going to reveal to you that you're going to take a body change, but you're going to be standing in a dead body. You understand what I mean? The one that's dying.
Yeah.
Because even the 30, 40 days when the dead come out of the ground, we're going to be changed after that. So somewhere during that time, we'll get a body change. So we've got to believe to get them out of the ground, get them a glorified body, and then us come to a place to where that'll transpire. So there's a lot of things got to go on. We just got to, you know what? I go back to what Brother Claude said. The Bible says, those who endure to the end shall be saved. The only way you're going to know you make it is to endure to the end. Because we see people falling all over the place now.
Right.
But let's don't be ignorant of God's righteousness and go about establishing our own righteousness. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. He's interpolating somewhere. Where did I miss that? Man, it must be way on over yonder. Get back over on the other one. You see the parentheses, Lord of mercy. Did I miss it? Goodness gracious. Where's the
9:11?
Well, see, I know where it says number 6. It's got a... Well, there it is right there. Sorry. But Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. If I'd have looked on further, it would have been right there. The man was doing these things, shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall descend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, not just in your mouth, but in your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Because your body can't do that. Your body's just, it's just there. I was thinking the other day, you know, let me just put this point in too, that we... A lot of people, when I preach about the don't worry about the body's not anything to be up or down concerned with. Here's an example. What's the worst thing you can think of, sisters, is being a prostitute? I mean, you've defiled your body, you've defiled your womanhood and all those things. But you can get born again. You can get born again. That has nothing to do. The lady that was at the woman at the well, she had 5 defilements, and she was living with a man that was there in defilement then. You understand what I mean? Defiling?
Yeah.
The worst thing you can think of? But she was saved. But now you could take a virgin that lived to be 20 years old and deny God, and she goes to hell. So see, it's not the body.
Yeah.
This thing. Okay? It's what's inside. For with the heart, inside man, believeth unto righteousness. Because there is no righteousness. He's going to tell you in a little while, there's no righteousness in this. There is not. This is not rightness. This was not rightness, and it never will be rightness. This thing I got. Because it come from mom and dad. An act that was permitted by God after the fall to get me here so that I could believe with my heart unto righteousness. And you make that circle back again. All right? That's what we're going back to. We're going back to that part. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Watch. See, brings them back together. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you'd say, well, everybody that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Go back to the heart part. God knows in your heart. He knows your heart better than you know it. Because he knows what your heart's going to do the next day and the next day and the next day. All right? And how shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Because remember, faith cometh by what? Hearing. Listen, there is zero chance of you getting born again if you've not heard the word, because there's nothing to convict you by. The word is what convicts you inside. The word convicts you. You come under conviction because of the word.
Right.
Not because of what grandpa said or grandma said. I've said many times before, I wish I could save my kids. Mama tried to save me for 20-something years. She can't do it. There's no way. But let God get a hold of you.
Yeah.
The inside man, you see. So that not everybody that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the Bible does say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, let me interpolate, with an honest heart, shall be saved. Because some people call on the name of the Lord, that's like we talk about, you know, people finding Jesus in jail. You know, you go to jail. You go to jail, and everybody becomes religious, especially if you're on death row. You know, I mean, really. And some of them may be sincere, but some of it's not. You know that by what life they had lived. But see, there again, there's a vile man, murderer. If he gives his heart to God and he gets born again, he's just as clean as you are.
Right.
But he did that with his body. That his body participated in what he did. But the inside man was changed. Cleaned out. And he was given a new heart. That's what Ezekiel says. I'll give you a new heart. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. See, I preached a sermon, you know, about feet one time. And that's why the Bible always shows Jesus with the feet of brass. Because what is brass? Divine judgment. Well, where does divine judgment come from? The preaching of the word. That's the divine judgment, is the preaching of the word. Right? How beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? In other words, who hath believed our report? You can ask the same question. Who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But was it applied? Or was it taken in? Not always, no. But I say, did not Israel know? They should have known the Messiah was going to be there. They were looking for him to come the way the Bible said. He came exactly that way. I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Alright, when Moses, by foolish nation I will anger you. All those ites. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was found of them that sought me not, us Gentiles. Okay.
Right.
Because they didn't seek God. They weren't looking. Like Brother Brown said, we were not we. He says we. He brings a whole Gentile nation. He said, we were not looking for a Messiah. We didn't have a clue. We did not have a clue that there was a Messiah coming. Yeah. We were Romans. We were Gentiles. We were heathens. Had gods and other gods and these gods and that gods. Well, Jew had one God.
Yeah.
They had that part right. They just forgot that he was coming in human flesh. But what happened, though, is we'll cover in the fifth seal. God had to literally put his hand over their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
to keep them from seeing what was going on so you and I could come in. Mm-hmm. If not, there wouldn't be that break in that 70 weeks of Daniel.
Right.
There had to be a break to get a Gentile bride. But Isaiah's very bold says, I was found of them, sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand. In other words, for 3.5 years I was among all of you, and you turned me down. You rejected me. I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And that's what the Jews are still now, you know. But you know what? God's never going to forget them because He said He wouldn't. He told Abraham, said, look up. Count the stars. Look down. Count the sands on the sea. Man, try doing that. You can't count a handful. Much less count the whole ocean, sand on the ocean. But He said, I'll not forget Israel. I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. Now see, if you were listening, let's go back to the example I made. There, if you heard that sermon from Paul, you can pretty much surmise that God has kicked the Jews out of the house. Right? But you weren't listening to the whole thing. I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He knew his lineage. He was a Jew. He knew his lineage, but he knew that lineage was worthless. In other words, hey, Paul was alive when Jesus was here. He was alive somewhere. He might have never met Jesus, but he was alive. If Jesus died in AD 30 and Paul was in AD 56 when he died and he was an older man, he had to be either about the same age as Jesus or somewhere around that. So he was there during the time, but he missed the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know why? It wasn't his time. Remember, he said, I was born one out of due season or one out of due time. Mm-hmm. Brother Brown said he should have been the 12th apostle. How's that put it back? It puts it right in there where he should have been that 12th man.
Right.
But we know that can't happen because of what Paul had to do. Paul had to take us to believe on Jesus Christ, not believe on the guy standing there, Jesus Christ. Believe on Jesus Christ that you have not seen. Right? Okay. God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. We're going to get to a little bit of that on the fifth seal, because He's going to give white robes to people that didn't even want it. What about grace? Watch you not that the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed the prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? This is kind of where we're at, I think, last Sunday, a little bit more down through here. Kind of backed up for a minute because I wanted to cover that other. But I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. You know what's Paul saying? Paul's saying, hey, it looks bad out there in Israel, but God has a group of people. Because remember, the 120 were Jews, the 3,000 were Gentiles, 120 were Jews. So God did come to the Jews and give them the Holy Ghost first. So He didn't forget them.
Right.
He used them to carry the gospel, but knowing, though, that they'd be rejected. Look at them. Every one of them got killed for what they believed. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Because what is grace? We'll get into that in the fifth seal a little bit more. Grace is unmerited favor. There is nothing you could do. That's why I said, grace cannot be something that man has developed.
Right.
No way. That has to be the sovereignty of God. Because you and I, whether you're the best saint in the world, you have a list of do and don't, and they did, and they didn't, and they don't, and they do, and right?
That's right.
Alright? God don't have that. Grace is unmerited favor. All that merit right here on that you've been looking up and saying, if it works, grace is no effect.
Yeah.
Now remember, there was contention there with James and Paul about this, not between them, but now where they say, well, it's got to be by works. I like what Brother Branham, he comes in and preaches, works his faith expressed.
Yeah.
Okay, so faith is... See, we, that's why I said grace is something you and I, that's why it come to that fifth seal. We have to be in the fifth seal to see, sure, we get grace every day. The grace of God's what saved us. But the grace of God, when we get all these do's and don'ts and isms and all out of our mind,
yeah,
like we, me and Jim were talking last night, and I'll probably say this and get in trouble with it upstairs, but laying on of hands and stuff like that, that is that denominational idea that we got to get rid of.
Right.
If we got to go on, now, did I not read to y'all that Brother Brown said the Son of Man will be revealed in a different form, a different way?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's going to be different than anything we all previously thought. Because
yeah,
the Son of Man didn't, well, he didn't scream at demons, remember?
Right.
He did not scream at demons.
Right.
He, that's why I said, if we don't know what the Son of Man is, if you want to make a list, go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and make a list. That's what the Son of Man is. Because that was him. And he didn't have to scream at the demons. But you know what? He had bad days and good days. Right?
Right.
Jesus wept. Jesus cried over things. Why? That was the humanity part. One day we'll talk about that. Because when we get trapped, we're trapped in these first three dimensions. When God done what he did and separated Adam and Eve, or when Adam and Eve did what they did and God had to separate them, he put us in this in the first three dimensions. Life, light, and matter. And we can't play outside of that. We get in the fifth dimension if we die. We get in the sixth dimension if we die. We can't get in the seventh dimension until the glorified body comes. Fourth dimension is what you're seeing here. Internet, waves, stuff coming through this wall right now. And that's the way God contacts us, but that's the way the devil contacts. So the same way. So the fourth dimension, we've tapped into, but we can't, what I'm saying is we can't go into the fourth dimension with this, what we have. So we're trapped in this dimension, and there's certain things happening in this dimension. That's why I'll read you to this afternoon. Brother Brown never quoted it, but he said it many, many times. When we come to that fifth seal, that's in another dimension. God had to take John into another dimension. So you and I are going to have to tap into another dimension to get out of here. Not the fifth dimension, but the fifth seal. All right? We don't want to tap into the fifth dimension. Now, we know where that is. That's the center of death. But I keep telling you about the sixth dimension and this dimension. There's a buffer in there. Remember, the Bible says there's a great gulf fixed. You know, when Lazarus wanted to talk to Abraham, he said, well, I can't get to you and you can't get to me. Why? There's a great gulf fixed. He was in one dimension and Abraham was in the other, but they could see each other. You come to a place where they could see each other. So that's what you're going to have to do. Is where Brother Brown said, God will become so visible among us. Now, we know the corporal body's not going to be here, but he's going to be so visible among us. Where's he going to be visible? In us.
Yeah.
In us.
Yes.
He's going to be visible in us. And then the rapture will take place. Then the body change, and then the rapture will go. Right? So let's get back to grace, because we'll talk about it a little bit this afternoon. Grace is not grace if there's one mark that you did something to get it. It then becomes works. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
It then becomes works because you can pin a, I did this to get this.
Yeah.
That's not grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Period. That's why man can't, you can't fathom it, but we're going to have to start believing it. That's why the fifth seal is so important. That's why it laps back under the where to the body change. We got to see that it's not this, and it's not your bank account. It doesn't matter if you got three cars or 30. Remember, that's in this dimension. We're trapped in this dimension. With life, light, and matter, and we have to do the thing. Yes, we do, because Jesus even had to do it. When he come into this dimension, he had to eat. He slept. He had to go to the bathroom. He had to do all the things that humans do, and he was Almighty God. And they hung Almighty God on a cross. So, let's get this thing out of our mind that we're coming to this sinless perfection to where... See, that's our problem. our thought process is, if I ever get to a place I can speak the word, anybody ever cut me off on the road, I'll just... If my boss is giving me a bad day, I can just... That's why Brother Brown said, power without character is satanic. It's the power of God. But if you don't have the character to use it, He's not going to give it to you, because He knows what you're going to do with it. Yeah. I'll read you a quote today when Brother Brown talks about the power being in you to create a world and go live on it.
Right.
You have the power, and he said, if you're a born-again Christian, you have the power tonight to go create a world and go live on it yourself. But there's a bar. What? This dimension. And the Word. But in this dimension, you can't do that. But we got to deny this dimension. We got to deny what's going on right here. We got to deny death. Because really, folks, this is the only place where there is death. You said, no, the fifth dimension. No, they're already dead. The sixth dimension, they have died from this dimension and went into that one. Right? So the only death reigns in this dimension, the first three, life, light, and matter. So we got to deny that because it doesn't happen anywhere else. That's why I said we got a long way to go, but you know what? We're going to get there. We got to change our thinking from the old, previous. And Brother Dale's going to preach it this morning. That whore's forehead is denominational ideas that you and I have, not them people over there across the road.
Right.
That we have.
Right.
So he'll get to it this afternoon. I hope it kind of melds in with what works. I'm sure it will. But if it's of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded. We attained to it. We're the elect. Israel was the elect, but they were blinded. Look, interpolating. The rest were blinded. And if you take that out, put unto this day. Well, now Paul's going to explain why. According as it is written, so it goes back to the Word of God. God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. Because they saw God in human flesh. They heard God in human flesh, but they turned Him down. Actually, they called Him a devil. Right? See, that's what I mean. Wait, if you read that about the Son of Man, He was so much human, so they called Him a devil. They said, you're a wine bibber. You only hang around prostitutes and sinners. They called Him Beelzebub. Why? Because they had their preconceived idea of what God's supposed to be like. What? He didn't fit one criteria they had on their little list. He didn't fit one. He was so far away from that list till they called Him the devil, but He was Almighty God. That's what I'm telling you. We need to throw away our list.
Yeah, that's right.
Throw away our list and get back and see the grace that God's given us. Unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. Paul says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. You read that? Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. They didn't fall, they just stumbled. But rather through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, look, watch, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? In other words, the Gentiles are going, we got this, 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 this. I mean the Jews. We got this, 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 this. Gentiles just said, we believe he was Messiah. Right. What did they have to go on? That's why the Gentile, that's why God loved the Gentiles when he spoke to that Gentile. That centurion didn't need, he didn't know nothing about the law. Nothing. But he said, I perceive you're a man of authority. He said, I'm a man of authority. In other words, if I say go, they go. If I say come, they come. What was he saying? Sir, I see something in you called authority.
Right.
If you say go, demon, it goes. If you say come, it comes. Whatever you speak, not touch, whatever you speak, it'll happen. Yep. So he said, they found no faith in Israel. Why? Because they always need to lay it on hands. They all need the touching and the shaking and the throwing and all that stuff. You,
right.
You got to get away from it. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Excuse me. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am not the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office.
Read that again.
For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle. I just said not, didn't I?
You said not.
Sorry. Inasmuch, that's why I looked at it, I thought, hey, why did he say that? Inasmuch as I am the, thank you, sister. Bless you. Inasmuch as I am the, go home with you. That's my wife. That's okay. She keeps me straight. Tries to anyway. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify that office. Now that don't mean he exalted himself. No, he's telling the truth. He went to the Jews. The Jews said, we don't want none of this. So he goes to the Gentiles. So he's now the apostle and he's setting up. He's fixing to go to the Romans. They're Gentiles.
Yes.
I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation, what does that word emulation mean? Jealousy. Them which are my flesh, Jews, and might save some of them. He still tried. When he said, Lord, I turn to the Gentiles, that doesn't mean if a Jew walked up and said, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and I want to be saved. He said, no, you're a Jew. Get out of here. No. They came in too, right? For if the casting away of them be the reconciliation of the world, what shall the receiving of them but life from dead? So in other words, he's not kicking them out. And look, we must be real careful. We don't want to kick anybody out. We that's not our job.
Right.
We preach on a denominational idea that's wrong, not the people. But now if the people become that, that's their business. But you can't do anything about that. So we don't preach against the people. They're, you know what? Like I said, they're more sincere than we are most of the time. But they've been caught in a system that's false. That's of the devil. Okay? But they've been caught in that. Because like Brother Brown said, they're worshiping the devil, thinking they're worshiping God. That's the worst deceit there is. That's the same way with you and I. Right. For the casting away of them being reckless in the worst ones to receive them. Okay. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now what's he saying? Remember, we were grafted in. That olive tree is Israel. It's alive. He's not going to forget her. We were just grafted in. I like the grafted in part in the 70 weeks of Daniel. You got 70 weeks of Daniel. There's your tree. Then all of a sudden, God right in the middle of it, he grafts in the Gentiles, the wild olive branch, into the tree. The tree's alive. That's what he's saying right here. For if the first fruit be holy, they're holy people, the Jews. The lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. They just didn't get Christ like we got him. But they will. Coming to the fifth seal and the sixth seal, they get him again, the 144,000. And the ones that were Jews that got their white robes just because they were Jews. We'll get into that. And if some of the branches be broken off, and though being a wild olive tree, us, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. So the life comes from the root. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. We'll stop right there. Let's go. Well, that's actually when we need to stop, I think. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. Yeah, those. Yeah, I've got a bunch of these. If anybody come in later, see if you can find the books of the Bible in this paragraph.